Blog Talk Radio.
Take your calls. 914-338-0164 is the call in number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we do have a caller in the queue. We're going to be getting to you in just a sec, but first want to invite you to follow us or send us a friend request. All of the above on our social media sites, which are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. So, I guess we will take on our caller. Is that okay with you, Olive? Did you want to take the caller? Apparently she's not interested in doing a reading today, so we'll have to. Okay, 402 area code.
Hi, this is Diane. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
Hi, Diane.
I had called some months ago, and I've got some wonderful advice that I'd been following, and everything's coming along well on that, but I had just had something come up kind of recently that I never thought I'd call about, and through your show, I'd been encouraged to work more with my intuition, and my intuition said, you know, ask questions, process it, and then get a second opinion from you. So that's what I'm doing here today. And
okay,
what I've got going on is I've been in a romantic relationship for 4 years, starting tomorrow, with Brian, and during
tomorrow, you mean it's 4 years, the anniversary is tomorrow.
Yes, I apologize. I miscommunicated there. 4 years tomorrow will be the anniversary of when we started going out. And we were friends for a while before that, but our romance started 4 years ago tomorrow. And for almost that entire time, I felt that he really cares a whole lot about me as I care about him. I still do feel that way. That's not an issue, but I have found that very recently, just within maybe the last 2 to 3 weeks or so, for some reason within me, I felt some type of cognitive dissonance within the relationship, and I haven't been sure the cause of that. So when I was working with my intuition and spirit guides last night, I asked for guidance, and the options I received was that there could be something subconscious, something within Brian he doesn't know about, or something he might be doing I don't know about. There could be something within me that I don't know about yet and haven't been willing to work on. And the last thing was what I got the biggest hit on was that there could be some type of outside malevolent interference with our relationship. And for some reason, the entire time we've been together, there have been a number of people, for whatever reason, that have not wanted us together. And some names that came up to me were Linda, Kelly, Diane, Becky, Gloria,
people,
Lisa, and Michelle.
Are these people that, I'm sorry to interject, but are these people that you know the names that you're coming up with, or are they just random names that you were coming up with?
These are people I know of. I do not know personally. They are from Brian's side. And,
okay,
and one is an ex-wife, but anyway, those were the names that were coming up and said bounce those off. And so I'm looking for any type of insight that you might get, any other information I don't have to kind of help me fill in the pieces and get the answer I'm looking for so I can work through this cognitive dissonance or resolve
cognitive
whatever the issue is.
Can you verbalize in a more specific way exactly how you're feeling in the relationship? I mean, cognitive dissonance.
I do have a few issues I need to talk to Brian about that have come up recently where I've been a little angry. Not big issues, and we've worked through things like this before. But I find that sometimes, like I say, just within the last few weeks or so, I will just get angry at him for no reason. And I won't be with him, and I won't take it out on him, but I just have these feelings of anger, and I'll just kind of question the relationship. Like, wow, is this, you know, is this it, or is there something going on, you know, you don't know about? Why? And I just keep asking why. You know, why am I feeling so upset about this when there's nothing I see on the surface to get upset about? And I'm
so
still very happy in the relationship. We get along great, like we always have.
So there's nothing specific that you can pinpoint that is bothering you, but you're having these feelings of irritation, dissatisfaction, and you think that
only
there's
one thing that I, you know, I said there was, we have, like everybody, we have issues that come up in the relationship and we talk it out and we work it out, and we haven't had a chance to talk it out yet. I feel that something that came up in a discussion within the last few days or so, we haven't been able to address yet, that he may have lied to me previously or deceived me regarding a woman in his past that I think might be trying to get back in his life, or maybe not get back in his life, but just kind of keep him in the back pocket type of thing. And I could be wrong about that. That's just feeling I'm getting, but I don't know how much is the intuitive feeling. You know how sometimes you get the intuitive feeling, but then you let your mind come in with some thoughts? You know, and on this issue, I'm not sure which is stronger here, the thought or the feeling.
So, but you said that there was some dishonesty. So what specifically, on a concrete level, what did he lie about?
Well, I'm not sure of that yet. Like I said, I have to address
him. This is not even something you're sure of. You just think possibly this might be occurred.
I think he may have lied to me about some contact he had had with this woman previously, saying he didn't have contact with her, but like I said, we've not talked that out yet, so I could be wrong.
So you could be wrong, but what makes you suspect it is that if you're doing your honest self-check, do you think that's your own insecurity, or is there evidence that he has lied to you?
I'm really not sure, because I may have heard him incorrectly. You know, I'm thinking that's a lie, but I just have a feeling that for some time he may have still been keeping in touch with her and just lying about it. And I don't care if he's in touch with her. I'm someone that lying is a trigger thing for me in relationships.
Uh-huh.
So that it could just be my thoughts saying, oh, well, this has happened before, so you know he's got to be lying. You know what I mean? But there is a little bit of feeling that, well, I kind of think he's not telling you the full story here. And she lives half a continent away. I know there's nothing directly going on. But again, like I said, sometimes I let the thought come in and interfere with my intuitive feeling.
Have you had past, and we need to get the birth dates, but have you had past relationships with infidelity where you were on the receiving end of being
yes.
cheated on?
In one, I did not know about it until after the relationship was over, and the other one, I found out about it just before I ended the relationship.
Okay, what's your birth date?
March 24, 1962.
And his?
July 27, 1958.
Okay. He's 39, 12, 3, and you are 19, 19 and
18.
26, 8? 39. What's her number? 3, 4, 5, 9.
He's a
27. 27, 9. And he's a 39, 12, 3. Okay. So you're a 9 and 3 respectively. And there's definitely karmic connection going on. The days are interchangeable. Your 2 to his 7 becomes his day 27.
Well, her karmic number is his day.
Yeah, his karmic.
Yeah.
I hadn't gotten there yet. His 2 to your 4 is your day 24. And together you become a 4, which is your second.
You become a 12.
A 12, which is your month 3, becomes a 3. And also, you know, anything added to 9 becomes the other number. So 9 plus 3 is 12, which is equals his master number.
So they're obviously connected. But
definitely connected.
Diane, I want to ask you a question. Are your parents divorced?
No, they were married until my father died.
Oh, till your father died.
That's
okay. Are his parents divorced?
No, they were together until one of them died. I did not know them, but I heard that it was not a good marriage, that they might have been some people who would have been happier if had they got a divorce, but they did not.
Okay. Well, you're karmically connected together, so that establishes the basis of your relationship and meeting him and being with him. It's been 4 years. So all of that is established by a karmic connection. You're supposed to have met him and you're supposed to be in a relationship. Now, there's nothing that says, in my estimation, that you two have to split up, that it's over. What I'm getting is on a purely earthly level, meaning there seems to be a pure lack of communication between the two of you where it's most crucial. And if you're picking up that there's been a breakdown of some total sense of communication with this man, Brian, then you're going to start to back off because you have to protect yourself. So I think the subject matter here is a lack of communication. Where that's stemming from could be in Brian's thought process about being a stable human being. In other words, he may not be stable within himself. So when that happens, anything around him produces some attitude of instability. So he might entertain thoughts about a girl half continent away. He's not totally honest with you because he's still working through a certain amount of karma, and we might say immaturity, to where he can't be upfront. And this will annoy you because your partner should be upfront and steadfast in that energy. Now, this might go back to something in a past life to examine, I don't know, something like that. But
his divorce came as a surprise. Excuse me for interrupting, but he was shocked that his ex-wife asked him for a divorce.
What was did she give a reason? Or, I mean, did he tell you a reason why she wanted a divorce?
What he said was that she told him, she did not even tell him one-on-one, they were going to counseling, and she dumped it on him in front of the counselor in the session, that she just didn't love him anymore and couldn't stay married, wanted out of the marriage.
And so the reason they were going to a counseling was because of whatever issues they were having, probably somewhat stemming from the lack of love that she had. But I wonder what made them get to that point of,
I don't know, but he told me they were married. They were married for about 14 years before she said she wanted a divorce. And then she waited 3 years to get it. She had, I believe, found another man, left him for another man, and then he broke it up with her, and she did not file for the divorce then until she had another man to go to. And that took 3 years.
Okay,
but
so
he said they had started going counseling together after they'd only been married for 2 years.
So there's a divorce issue going on with him.
And he's compounded,
personally.
So that's not a surprise. I mean,
and so the divorce filtered down into his world. And have you ever been divorced?
Yes, I have twice.
Yeah, you know, this is a matter of coming to the planet and resolving your relationship issues. You have to get some karmic people, some of that's going to be already established that there will be a divorce, and because it's based on karma. So you're coming to a place where, with Brian, what you two need to do is, before you make any decision or rely on any hunches, you need to have a good conversation with them, a sit-down talk about if this relationship is really going to go forward. And if it does, there can't be secrets, and you've got to be able to discuss your differences and your feelings. And if he's resentful of that, then that's when you have to say, Brian, I can't move forward with you holding back. I don't want to be in a shadow world with you. And that's what I would suggest. I think he's troubled. He might even need counseling to get through some
of
these.
He has suggested that. He's actually called this week to find some people to call about that. And I've agreed to go with him.
That's good. Okay.
Well, the good news is that he's proactive in trying to resolve whatever issues may be going on in your relationship. Do you have any idea, though? I mean, why he's asking for counseling? Because everything you presented to us thus far is, you know, from your perspective as far as issues are concerned. So I'm, you know, you haven't expressed any issues that he's having. Are you aware that he's having issues in the relationship or what they might be?
I just feel he's very insecure in general. And I think we all are to some point, and I know I am too, and feels his past, you know, might creep back up on him, because I get the feeling he does really want to be in a relationship. I know in the past, from what he's told me, it sounded like in the 6 years or so since he's been divorced, he's never been alone for very long. He's codependent. He has to be in some type of relationship. And from what he told me of at least a couple of them, they weren't that good. And he waited until, rather than breaking it off, he couldn't answer me when I said, well, if she was treating you like that, why did you not break it off? Oh, I don't know. He waited until they broke it off with him.
Hmm.
Then, like I said, he was traveling. He'd fly half a continent away to go see this woman in Texas.
What's this guy do for a living?
He's a tech guy, systems analyst type person.
So here's our advice. Don't worry about your hunches.
Yeah.
Get over to counseling with them and get some issues worked out. So, and the expectation is you two are going to stay together. That's the general footing right now, that you two should probably stay together at this point in your life. You're both getting up there in years, and, you know, if there's a lot there to count on and you love each other, then these issues have to be worked through. Issues aren't terrible. You work through them, and you learn how to get through your stuff. And maybe with counseling, that would be a good idea. So he's suggesting it. I guess our recommendation is to go to counseling and to get these things worked out. And at the end of the line, you two may stay together.
Okay. That's what I would like at this point, and I kind of think he does too, because we are both, I think at the basis of our relationship was a friendship. We still want to take care of each other and help each other.
Well, I think
and share our together.
Well, I mean, if you both want the relationship to work and you both have, you know, are open to therapy, I think it's a really safe place to be able to work out whatever issues there might be. And perhaps you can express at some point down the road some of your fears about what might be going on his end. But hopefully they'll be able to be resolved.
Yeah, you have to understand the question isn't a friendship. The question is a relationship that is, you know, that is intense and physical, like a husband and wife. Relationship, not a friendship. That's not the issue.
Well, we don't have a physical relationship much because of some illnesses on his part. He has issues with that, being able to do that.
Oh, health, like health issues.
He had cancer, and he made a choice of recovery that has significantly decreased his sex drive and ability to perform.
Right. Yeah, and
well, then I don't know why he would even be seeking an affair.
But an affair is not always physical. Sometimes
it's an emotional affair. Well, he did, I guess it's been off and on for him, and he did have a physical affair with her. And so I think that's another thorn in my side.
Yeah.
Because was he married when he had this relationship with this woman?
No, but I found out through my intuition, and he did not deny it, that, in fact, when I first met him, my intuition said, this man has used prostitutes. And I thought, why do I need to know that? You know, because I just met this person. But I found out that he had done that during the time he was married.
Oh, so he was unfaithful in his marriages.
With
he just had the one marriage, yes, and she was unfaithful to him as well.
And he sought prostitutes. That's what he was looking for.
Yeah, but he did that before he was married too. He said.
And before he had these issues, but still, that's
you guys need
serious.
Counseling. You guys need counseling, and you know, with the sexual issue, if that's not satisfying to you, you both need counseling. That's where you got to go first.
Okay.
So to address your question, our assessment is to get counseling with them and move from there.
Okay. Okay, we have to move on to other callers, Diane. We're getting a lot of people lining up here,
okay,
so we want to make sure we get them.
Thank you very much. When I can't get long readings again, you're my go-to people. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You've helped me a lot. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay, 860.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thanks, Amy. How are you?
Good. Yeah, 12-16-73. Yeah. Today I have a question. As far as my book is concerned, I called in a couple of shows ago, and I know you guys were running out of time. So I just was wondering, since the new year's approaching, do you feel or sense me really, sensing abundance and building up the book sales and so on and so forth?
Well, you self-published the book, right?
Yep.
So you're funding all the marketing and you're having to...
They're responsible online sales. They're helping me with my publishers doing that. And then I'm responsible for
physical that's part of your, is that part of your book package that you bought? Like
yes.
Marketing?
Yes. They're responsible for that. And I'm responsible for physical books.
What did you do? Amazon?
Yep, it's all on Amazon. They're on it, and then they're Barnes & Noble. It's an ebook. It's on Kobo. It's on all those things.
No, the publisher, was it Amazon? Did you do it on Amazon, like publisher
yes,
on Amazon?
Yes, I'm saying, yes, they did.
Yeah.
Barnes
we
& Noble,
here.
Amazon,
mentioned
everything.
Barnes & Noble, too, so we wanted to make sure that that was the publisher. Yep, that's what I told
you. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Gosh. Busy on the busy on the show and busy on our phone. Gosh. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know much about Amazon's process personally regarding, you know, how aggressive they are. She's wanting to know about abundance, about the book and success of the book. I mean, I think you're going to have some moderate success. Is it going to be a number one bestseller? I'm not necessarily.
No, I'm not thinking that either. I'm not going that far. It's just a matter of book sales. I'm more worried about on what I can do. Amazon is the publisher stuff, right? I'm going to let them take care of that. That's their job. Me, my job, so to speak, is now sales of the physical book, getting the word out, having signed book sales. You know, like I had an author talk this coming Saturday, and I'm doing, you know, signing books there. Things of that nature, that's what my main question is about, is that kind of abundance of me being out there with book tours and really getting the word out.
Well, that's all up to you, right? I mean, that's up to you and what you decide to plan. Amazon doesn't do any of that. Coordinate book tours or, you know, bookstores.
Well, no, I understand that, but
I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question.
Yes.
Does Amazon coordinate book tours?
No.
They don't do anything like that. So that's not part of the marketing because some companies, part of their marketing package is to arrange book tours or not book tours, but book signings for the author. So that's what we're trying to find out. What does Amazon include, and what do you do on your own?
See,
okay,
Amy,
like I said before, I'm only responsible on my own for physical books. It's on Amazon, and it's that's the publisher as far as getting the sales out. I mean, getting, huh?
Yeah, so your response, so essentially the original question is, are you responsible for marketing? The answer would have been yes, because Amazon is just selling your book. You're not paying, they're not doing marketing.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, Amy, to answer your question, in your energy field, there's nothing blocking you from being having abundance. There's nothing going to block that in your energy field. In other words, in your karma of life, going forward, nothing's written already in your book that says you're not going to be able to do this. So upon saying that, our best advice is for you to be totally aggressive in doing lectures through any means possible, any institution possible, wherever there's a ready audience for your topic. And to expand on it, maybe in a life-affirming way that people who don't have such challenges can gain insights from your life experiences. Now, if you do that, you're going to receive a satisfactory response in terms of abundance. You know, you're not going to be a millionaire, but you're going to look back at your life and say, I completed this mission, and I got I got a nice response. That's already in your path. What you have to do in this lifetime is physically promote it. You have to get your body out there and do it. If you do it, you're going to be happy.
Which it sounds like you're doing it. I mean, it's not. Do you have things scheduled next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's they're small events. I mean, it's just a matter of because it's interesting, just as a side note, like a lot of authors, because they're introverts, that's all they do is write it. And then when the book is out, it's like, oh my gosh, now I have to be an extrovert, so to speak, and be out there. And a lot of authors that I've talked to, it is uncomfortable because you've been basically a hermit trying to get this book done, in your own world. And then all of a sudden, you
and I don't
to
get
expose
it. Amy, you talk a lot. I mean, when we have you on the show, you talk. You're not an introvert. I mean, maybe at heart there's an introverted you're an introvert, but you have no problem expressing yourself, talking about yourself. So there should be no problem translating that from the radio show or your personal relationships to a book signing.
Yeah.
No problem communicating.
No, I'm not even saying. I'm just expressing what I've talked to other authors. Here's the thing is, it's so new, it's like I need to pick a direction. And I think that's what I'm having more trouble with, as far as like, there's so much out there. What, like, not that you're going to end all be all talking to both of you. You're going to answer, like, have a hocus pocus answer. But the point is, I'm a little lost because it's just, there's so many avenues of reaching people. I just don't know which way to go because it's just so much. Yeah.
Yeah, Amy, I don't pay any attention to introverts, extroverts. J.D. Salinger was an introvert and sold millions of books. And there are people who are introverts that went on book tours anyways. David Foster Wallace, one of the more contemporaries. Totally introvert, but he was also a teacher, and he ultimately committed suicide because of his depression. But that's not the issue. It's obvious. You need to go on. You need to promote yourself by your voice, by who you are, representing your book, and getting out there and showing that. That's what you need to do. If you get mixed up from going away from that topic and go, I really don't know how I'm going to do this. You're not getting to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter right now is to do book tours and talk about it, go anywhere, promote it, libraries. There's, maybe in your mind you have to research where you can go to do these things and expand on your creativity in terms of where you might capture an interested audience.
And like Neil said, making the book appealing to people that aren't challenged in the way that you are. So you can appeal to a broader audience because that, is what people that write books need to do.
Yeah, you're stepping right now into insecurity and sort of confusion, and you don't really know. And to me, I'm going to put one word, nonsense. There's no insecurity here. You wrote the book. You're going to promote it. You don't need to, you know, I'm going to talk to 100 authors and see what they, you don't need to do anything. You wrote the book, now promote it and let this breath of life expand for you. Don't waste your breath on some existential crisis you're going through about writing your book. You didn't write it so you could be confused. You wrote it so you could get out of delivery, go out and do it.
Yeah, I know. It's just a matter of like now, like appealing the audience. Like I had a testimonial.
Your brain scrambled up into worrying too much. Who cares? You go out and you make yourself appealing. You don't sit there analyzing, will I be appealing? How will I? Go out there and do your best, and whoever you're appealing to will be appealing. Don't sit there questioning who you're going to be appealing to. You got to go out there and do it. I see what you keep questioning the direct path. When you hear the direct path, then you question it with doubt and what am I going to do? And ask yourself those questions. You're wasting your time with those questions. Just go out there right now and do it.
Just do it. Like Nike.
That's the message.
What? Just real quick, Amy. What happened with? Have you heard from your love interest?
Oh, it's interesting. I basically did a lot of soul searching, and last week it was Thanksgiving. Anyway, the point is that I just I dug deep. I went to soul searching, and I really did like a meditation thing, and I reached out to him, and I just basically said, you know what, let's just, if you want to be friends, that's fine. For me, it's all about what I want, and I don't want to wait anymore. So that was.
And what did he say? What was his response?
He didn't. That's just typical of him. He has not responded. That's just so normal for me and him. That's what it always has been. So I'm not surprised. But the point is, you know what? The coolest part is the healing is that it's not about if he answers me back anymore. I'm pretty much, if he answers, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I'm not waiting by my phone or whatever to have some kind of closure, because I made that closure happen. I think there's what I needed to do. That's how I feel any healing is that I needed to do it for me, and whatever the other person does or doesn't do. That's not my problem anymore. There's the healing.
Well, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
good luck with everything.
I hope I'll call you next year, which is not far away, and I'll let you know how this book thing is going. I have a little cool seat, but I'll get through. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck.
And Amy can join us on Facebook. I don't think she has. And on Twitter. Those accounts are found on our Blog Talk Radio profile. We had two other callers, but they dropped out. Maybe they got scared.
We're tough, huh? Tough crowd.
I think one of them was someone, I got to tell you, called who... I think one of them was Nathaniel, who last time we spoke with him, he wasn't doing too well.
Well,
so it's too bad he dropped. Okay, well...
Well, we were... While we're waiting for the callers, our topic was securing for the afterlife.
Afterlife, that's right. Securing for the afterlife.
Afterlife. I mean, after.
The afterlife, as if life after life isn't life.
Yeah. Securing for the astral realm, caring for the journey of the soul and the spirit, maybe that's better, because we've defined life on the physical term. That's how we basically define life, but we're obviously not in that arena. Our life thought and conception is that there's a life in the soul and there's a life in the spirit, and that the physical breath just gets exchanged for the soul breath and the spiritual breath. I know these might be abstract terms, but they're obvious to us. So when you cross over, are you ready to, you know, when we come into the world, we can't prepare for that. Why? Because karma is already produced to how we're going to come into this world. Karma is going to produce that. What we get to do in our lifetime is to actively prepare for how we will be entering the astral realm once we physically die.
Right, and of course, the more Well, I mean, it depends. The karma that one comes into the world with can make it more challenging to adequately prepare for the afterlife.
Sure.
One, someone with good karma can be so can have so much good things happening in their planetary walk that they don't even think about the soul or the spirit because they live for the earth. Whereas someone who is beset with horrible karma can be so despairing that they can't grasp onto any spiritual principle and don't prepare. But we actually have a caller came back. Can we get that caller first? 505.
Hi. I'm just calling in today. It's nice to hear you guys again. And you guys were talking about karma, so I decided to call back.
Who's calling, please?
Patricia.
Patricia?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Patricia, go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling because I took care of my sister who was in a nursing home, and she passed away. And I, throughout the whole process, I have another sister who was taking care of her money. She was disabled. And my other sister did it in an illegal way. And when my sister passed away, my sister who was taking care of her money, she denied having any money of hers. And so basically she stole it. And so it's been bothering me, and I wanted to find out if there's no way for me to, like,
legally do anything?
Yeah, because I don't have paperwork or anything, but I do know word of mouth that I've spoken to her before my sister passed away, and I questioned her about it, and she told me how much she was saving for her, but when she died, then she denied it all. So there's no way for me to legally, you know,
there's two sisters.
Prove it.
There's,
but I just wanted to find out if there's any karmic justice.
Three. You have sisters. You have two sisters, correct?
Actually, I have. There's nine of us.
But you mentioned two.
Yes, I mentioned two.
Okay. So there's nine of you, but you mentioned two sisters. So there's one of the two that you mentioned. There's one that was you suspect is devious, and the other sister was caring for her. I'm sorry, I got confused.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was caring for the other sister. My other sister passed away.
Oh, you were caring for the other sister. The sister is the one that passed away, and the sister, you think the evil sister, quote unquote evil sister, took money illegally from the sister. Okay, now I am on track here. What's your birthday, Patricia? I know you used to call our show a long time ago.
It's 1/24/1963.
Okay, and then do you have your sister's birthday?
Yes, the one that took the money, her birthday is February the 8th, 1953.
Okay. She's compounded 28/10/1, and then the other sister.
Oh, the one that passed away?
Correct, yeah.
Geez, I believe hers was October the 10th, 1956.
1956, and they have a little bit of a reflection going on, and your 2/8 sister, well, she has a reflection in her karmic number in her month and day, but as well, her 10/1 is equal. I mean, it's the first three numbers of the sister that's deceased are 101, like that karmic number 2, 12, 23, 5, 6. They're all they become a 5 together. 14, 5. Just trying to see. And you're asking if there's going to be justice. I mean, are you obviously you're talking about karmic justice. You don't think there's going to be any legal recourse, correct?
I don't know. What I've heard is that they've been involved in other things that are not right, that of course can't be proven, but her and her husband are very shady people. I believe they're involved in some type of insurance fraud too, but I'm just hearing that there's just a lot of things. They lie a lot and stuff, and it's been bothering me. I wanted to find out spiritually if there's any type of, if, you know, because I know we can be haunted sometimes by the spirit if we're not doing the right things. I mean, I do. I mean, I'm always being put in line by the spirit. So I wanted to find out if something...
There is enough energy in the astral field to prompt her to confess or start to be honest. The problem, what you're presenting to us, is that there's nothing concrete that can be pinned on her, that there's rumors about them stealing, and, you know, you suspect that she did things with your mother's money, but there's no direct proof where you can actually go to, go through a criminal process or a civil process of recovering those funds. Unless there's something that you didn't mention.
Yeah, I'm looking more, you know, if there's going to be any type of karmic justice or...
Karmic justice.
You
mean divine intervention. You're looking for divine intervention, essentially, on this. Well, that's going to be tough. Going to be karmic justice because karma, her actions will come back to her. If not in this life, in the next life, because she's, not going to be able to transcend doing those kinds of things on the earth. So there will be karmic justice in that regard, in terms of whether there's going to be karmic justice now and divine intervention. I think that's going to be more challenging. Neil might have a different opinion, but...
Well, I mean, there's nine sisters, so it would, in the long run, it might not have been a lot of money because I don't. Maybe I'm dead wrong, Patricia, but I'm getting it with like 60 to 80,000. I may be wrong, but that's what
I'm
getting.
That
her wealth was worth her money. Wealth was worth about 60 to 80,000. That's what I'm getting. I might be wrong.
That my evil sister. That's her worth?
No, the deceased sister. That there was that was the sum of money that she had when she died, or the sum of money and assets. Is that resonate at all?
No, actually she had zero. She was on disability.
Well, what did she steal then? What did the sister steal?
Well, my other sister was when my sister was not in the nursing home. My sister was taking care of her money for her, and she kept that money, and she was not supposed to.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, how much was that amount of money?
From what I understand, I believe she kept like between $7,000 to $15,000 of my sister's money.
$7,000 to $15,000.
Okay,
and you
I don't know where I'm getting.
Eight.
I don't know where I'm getting
eight.
60 to 80. I don't know where I'm getting that.
So, let's,
but I'm getting it. Wait a minute. I don't know where I'm getting that. I don't know where I'm getting it, but I'm getting that figure.
Maybe it's something related to the sister that's
I don't know yet. Wait
a minute.
Well,
we can ask
her. Let me figure something out first. So, somewhere I'm getting that figure. Now, if your attempt is to say, well, she might have taken some money and it could have been $7,000 to $15,000, and I want some karmic justice done on her, I don't know, because karma sometimes results in the two issues. The universe can let them receive the karma after death, which could be very devastating on the soul, because they get away with it supposedly, but they really don't. Or they make them deal with what's called immediate karma, where you deal with it within the lifetime. These two characters that seem to be very shady are probably going to get away with a lot in life. I don't know if your expectation that they're going to get immediate karma, I'm not leaning heavily on that. They'll probably get away with a lot throughout their lifetime, especially if they stick together. I mean, ultimately, they corrupt people like this couple will corrupt one another, and they turn on one another and things like that. The only thing I can tell you before I let Kristen respond, who is the big smoker in the family? Who smokes cigarettes?
The big smoker was my sister who passed away. But other than that, I don't.
That's
all I need to know. And the sister that passed away was this other evil sister was the one who was, her life was in her keep. She was taking care of her financial situation.
I was taking care of my sister while my other sister was taking care of her money.
Oh, so you were taking care of her body needs, physical health, and
yes,
and the other one was taking care of her financial needs.
And you're talking about $7,000 to $15,000, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, that's about right. Now, where the $60,000 comes in, it could be because my father passed away and that evil sister purchased my dad's house and they made a profit from it. And they didn't pay us the full amount that they should have. But anyway, that's
okay. I want to ask
not
another
what I'm
question.
Asking about.
I'm getting the picture. I just want to ask you, in your entire lifetime, have you ever anywhere encountered anybody named Alice or Allie?
Alice?
Yeah.
It rings a bell, but I would have to think about that. I don't know.
Okay, you think about that and get back to us. But to answer your question, then I'm going to let Kristen talk because I've kind of said everything I need to say. She sounds like a real bitch. You want to know the truth.
Yes.
And,
and she gossips about everybody, and she points fingers at everybody, and she blames everybody. But that's why I'm thinking about this, because she does the worst things. And
well, I would, get away from her energy. You don't need to intermingle with her. You could go out there in the universe and say, find justice for this person. Let her see the light. Do whatever you can. And don't dwell on her. She's bad news. Move on in your life. Okay.
I told her to get out of my life, and I don't speak to her anymore. I cut ties with her.
That's good. That's what you need to do. And as far as retribution or finding, don't even obsess on that. There's other factors that will take care of her. They don't need our assistance. They'll get theirs probably somewhere in time and space. But I know we're influenced by your delivery, but she sounds like a real bitch to me anyways.
Yeah.
And she probably did something with your father's property. So I don't like the whole smell of it. And I'll tell you something else, that smoking, that might be your sister's spirit coming through. And if it can be of any peace to you, she seems to be telling me, with that in mind, move on, Patricia. You took care of me. I love you. Focus more on your life, and I'm with you. That's more where she's coming from. Alice, I don't know. You go find out who Alice is if you have to.
Go ask Alice.
Yeah, go ask Alice. Hopefully it's not much.
Yeah, my passed away sister, the one that I took care of all her needs, she did come to me in a dream, and she did ask me about that money.
That's a psych, probably a psychological dream. So, we all have dreams that are psychological. We have astral dreams, but I would trust more what's coming through in the reading. The fact that the smoke was something that Neil mentioned, and that's probably her spirit coming through and saying, release this.
Mm-hmm.
Your dream,
Well, the thing about it is, usually, a spirit coming back to you, having crossed over, is not going to me, wouldn't be that concerned
about money.
$17,000 or whatever.
Or even.
That might be your question you asked her.
Or even what's going on in the earth plane between the sisters. I mean, they're in a different realm at that point. So the concern with the earth is not what it would be if they were on the earth. But, you know, as I initially said, I don't think this is going to, they're going to be paying for this in this lifetime. It's going to happen afterward, which is, I mean, to be honest, you know, that delayed karma is going to be more, more serious for their soul in the long run, for their souls.
Oh. Yeah, I just want to make sure this other sister that we'll call her evil, that she is going to leave me alone. Because all my life she has been jealous of me and gone into my business, and now I cut ties with her. I haven't heard from her. I don't expect to hear from her, but I want to make sure that is cut.
What's your distance? Like proximity-wise, where does she live? How many hours apart are you?
Oh, we're about an hour apart, but I haven't seen her in over 10 years. We used to just talk on the phone, but I cut that all off, and I told her that I don't ever want to have anything to do with her again because she's not only has been very negative towards me, accusatory, and what she did to my sister, and it just has a very, very bad energy, and I don't care.
Well, you set that boundary, and you don't have to get involved with any further interaction with her.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean,
is there anything with the other siblings though that might force the two of you back into contact? Any other siblings that are sick or might be,
no.
Nothing.
I pretty much have done my work, and I pretty much cut ties with the whole family to an extent because there's a lot of us, and you know, when there's a big family, you know, sometimes there's a lot of gossiping, toxicity, and I'm just moving in a whole different direction. So,
well, follow your direction and don't worry. You know, I don't think this is. They probably won't reach out to you. They'll probably just, you know, curse you behind your back and stay away from you. I don't think there's going to be, unless you have something that they want, you know, you're wealthy and they're trying to get in something or something like that. Or maybe they have some, you know, factor that comes in to it. But I don't know. It sounds to me like you have set your course to take care of you and whoever you love and want to be around. Stay on that course. And if you're going to be released from your family, don't dwell on it because you're confusing the energy field. You know, I'm going to part away from my family. Now I think I'll start obsessing on them and figuring out what they're going to do. You're going to contradict your energy field. Don't do that. You let go. You don't look back. Like Lot's wife, don't turn around. Move forward. You say your goodbyes in your prayer, and you go forward. And that's it. You know, we're born into families.
Families
that
we're
have
connected
to stay with
exactly.
Them, if we don't like
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, if we love them, then we stay with them. If we feel indifferent, we may work through life with them. But if we don't like them, stay. Then move on.
Right, and perhaps this was something you needed to work out with this sibling karmically that you needed to disconnect with her to move forward in whatever journey awaits
yes.
you.
And
so,
I don't know who this Alice is. I've been thinking about the name Alice.
Well,
you
may not come to you
it could be
Alice right
or
away.
Allie.
But
you think about it.
Oh, Alan?
Huh?
I my brother-in-law's son's name is Alan, and he passed a long time ago. As a matter of fact, Alan was my sister who passed away. That was her ex-husband.
Oh, well, maybe it's Alan.
You know, Alice, Allie, Alan. Maybe that's it. Where we're going with that, I don't know yet. We don't have time. But
okay.
It has to do with that. I will say this, to add a little bit more misery to this mystery. It's something to do with horses. There's a horse coming in somewhere. I don't know where the hell the horse is
coming
from.
We're adding mystery to the mystery, not misery.
No, we're adding misery to the mystery. Because
horses aren't
confusing.
Miserable.
It's another confusing, game.
A horse? Wow, I don't know about a horse.
I know you don't know.
So now you're going to become more miserable because of the horse.
Well, my evil sister, I think they had a horse.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay. That's okay.
Then we're
so
trotting
you're on the
along.
Right track.
We're trotting along, trying to find the pinnacle.
We're not galloping yet.
We're not galloping. We're trotting, and if we're lucky, we'll find some answer here.
Okay.
And I don't know where this is all leading. Maybe you got spirits trying to reach you. Lengthier. That's a lengthier discussion.
Yeah, and we're at the end of our time, Patricia. So
I want to thank you so very much for taking my call. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we are out of time and no discussion.
Well, I guess we're not prepared to go into the afterlife. We're going to be screwed up here.
Okay, well, maybe Friday. We are back on the air 9 a.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. I'm sorry, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. On Friday. Hope you join us then.